Hello, everyone. This is Glenda, and wishing you a happy, happy 15th of October. And we hope to make it even happier because of the blessings that we can offer to you and to the world. It's a troubled world, and I'm sure you're all aware of the increasing conflicts and troubles. So we won't restate what's already all over the news, but it is a troubling thing for all of us. We are deeply concerned for the lives of the many in that conflict. And we will include all of that in our blessing today. But most especially, we include you. And we look forward to hearing from you. I don't know if Nancy, our wonderful co-host, has arrived yet. Nancy, are you here? Well, there's a little backstory on that. She's on her way, but she and Gary, her husband, who's also a blessing giver and here every Sunday, they just went to visit another brand new grandson. Oh my gosh. I mean, the Freeborn clan is going to help replenish the earth with wonderful people into the next generation. So I'm so happy for them and congratulate them with all my heart. And for now, you have me. I have a lot of things I could offer today because I always come prepared. But I really like to hear from our community first. I like to hear from you because you're what it's all about. You're the ones that are coming for the blessing. And I know some of you come primarily to hear what I have to say about it. And I'm really, really glad that I discovered a problem in our recent past recordings. I was listening to some of them in order to review the content that I might want to use in a chapter that I'm writing in the new book. And I noticed that my recording was very poor, although Nancy's voice came along great. All of our participants were recorded really great. And so I had to reevaluate my telephone. It needs replacing. But in the meantime, I have the office telephone, my old Samsung that recorded great. So I hope you're hearing me better than you were in the past, at least in the past few weeks. And I really do apologize for that. If you go back to listen the last three or four sessions, they're kind of difficult to hear, at least when there's any background noise going on. So I'm sorry about that, and we'll make sure that doesn't happen in the future. Well, while we wait for Nancy to get here, my darling friend and co-host, let's take a couple of calls. Let's see where we're going to go. We have some people in the Nancy's done this so long, I've forgotten how to do it. Oh, my goodness. Let's see.
Hi there. This is Joanna Lester. Yeah, I popped in. Yes, and yeah, I use my Samsung for the same things, my old Samsung, so it's good. Anyway, I was talking about the phone, but I have a special need or desire for a prayer for my grandson, whose name is Bannon, B-A-N-N-I-N, no, B-A-N, B-I-N-N. I'm so scared about this, but it's basically, his name is Bannon, B-A-N-I-N. Basically,
that's
he's in the hospital. Yeah, he's in the hospital. Oh, Severs is his last name. S as in Sam, I-E-V-E-R-S. Severs.
Ben and Severs. That's cute.
Yeah.
Very nice.
And
very dignified name.
Yeah. So basically, he is in the hospital for the second time for something that they can't understand what's happening, but it's basically kind of like a big, huge nervous breakdown. And it could be because he did do the vaccinations, but it's, he's been suffering emotionally and they can't figure out what's going on. And it's so scary because, I don't know if he'll ever be able to go back home even. So, I just want to pray for him, and I've been praying a lot myself, but I would want to help with all of the wonderful people who are on this call and have that assistance, and you too, Glenda, because you're just wonderful. So thank you.
Oh, he's in my heart. You know, and I know how much, how many people, and especially young people, are seriously carrying into the future the long version of the vaccination or COVID.
It's a scary
situation, and I truly, with all my heart, pray for whoever in the medical field will be smart enough, brave enough, with sufficient integrity to come up with some answers that restore the victims back to normalcy, because there were many, many more victims to this whole trauma than were listed on the initial patient list.
Yeah, I'm very aware of that. I'm very aware of that, and it makes it even more painful to see somebody change like that.
Yes, me too. And if it were not for my restraint of grace, I would be very angry. I tune my life into the grace of God as much as I can, because I know that anger is pointless and God's grace is the answer. So,
yes. Hey, can I just ask for one more, because there is another young boy, he's 11. My grandson is 15. The boy is 11, and his name is Jasper, J-A-S-P-E-R. Yes. Billadu, B-I-L-L-A-D-E-A-U, and he had the same vaccination, just lost everything. He can't even talk, and he was allergic to many, many foods, and now he's up to, it was only 7 foods he could tell. My other grandson, Billadu, he's the worst off, but my other, grandson is named Severs, but his name is Mathis, Mathis, basically. Mm-hmm. And basically he's got it too. And so he's not emotionally so bad off, but he is, autistic. He's autistic and has to go to a different school and everything. And,
were all of these young men, normal or semi-normal before the vaccine?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Maybe Mathis had some idiosyncrasies. But when he was younger, mm-hmm. and basically, but from my perspective, Bannon, nothing. And the last time I saw him, he put his arms around me. He's so tall now. He's 15. I said, who is this? Just to be funny. But, and he put his arms around me and squeezed me and whispered in my ear, I've missed you so much. I love you so much. And I think he was, telling me that he knows that I understand where sometimes parents, you know, don't have the ability it's hard for the whole family. Let's put it that way.
Of course.
And his dad is my son, and I love them all so much, but they're very suffering, the whole family now.
Of course they are. Of course.
Yeah.
Well, let's have all the family, including you, in the blessing, because together you will build your wholeness that will then carry over into the children.
Oh, thank you so much. I believe that totally, so thank you.
Oh, my love is with you, and the blessings of the Lord are always with you. You just have to ask, and you have asked now. That's a very important step you took. Very important.
Yeah, and I said add on to that all the other boys who have, or children who have suffered, absolutely, and other boys that's just dropped dead too from the same situation. So basically,
I know.
It's tragic. It's tragic.
But
I believe there's a bigger picture from the higher self, that there is something that we can hardly understand, but I always trust in what goes on. So, but anything, thank you so very much for your compassion and for letting us all do this with the prayers. Thank you.
Absolutely. We will direct, I direct prayers to this issue at least once a week. And so now I will have your children on my list.
Okay, thank you so very much. Yes.
You're very welcome. And much love to you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Well, bye-bye for now. And we'll stay with you in spirit through it all.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. And Tara, I see you're on the call. Let's see. How do I do this?
Nancy's here. I'm ready.
Nancy. Oh, my goodness. My goodness. We have to open the lines of Tara Kim, and I forgot how to do it.
Well, something was locked, and I couldn't get in, and I got a text from Christopher. So, Christopher, you can get in there now, so it's not locked, and we're live. And Tara Kim, your line's open.
Hi, Nancy. Hi, Glenda. Hi, everyone. I am calling today, just requesting a blessing from my aunt, who just came down with COVID. And I just found out before this call that she's in the hospital in Las Vegas. So I'd like to request a blessing for her and her husband. And, her name is Linda and the last name is Tobin, T-O-B-I-N. And my uncle's name is John Tobin, T-O-B-I-N. So I'd appreciate any blessings for that. And her immune system's definitely challenged from all the stuff she's been through. So she's definitely going to need a lot of prayer support. So thank you so much.
How is her condition now? Is it serious?
Well, she went to the hospital because she couldn't breathe. So I think I don't know if she's on a respirator, but she's getting some sort of breathing help, and they have her on anti-inflammatories and steroids right now, and I didn't find out if it's anything else, but that's all I know right now. So.
Okay, well, keep us posted on her, and we will start our prayers today.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Oh, Tara Kim, I have something I would like to share with you. A long time ago, you asked me if I would be interested in
letting you edit the new book I'm writing. Well, I'm writing the book now. And if you would have the time and the interest and the love to help me on that, I would love for you to do that. Okay, great.
Yeah.
And I think it will put you really, really on the upper level where you can be of even greater support and encouragement for your parents.
Thank you so much. That would be such an honor. Absolutely.
Okay, great. And I would love it too. All right. Well, Nancy, take over.
Hi. I'm here, and we had a great morning. We got to go see little baby Samuel, everyone. Thank you for your prayers. Everything went really smoothly for Amber and Gary and their delivery, the little baby Samuel. And so we went down there this morning, and then our son, who had his little boy, Arthur, 4 weeks ago, was on his way up. And so we kind of got in that little weird time warp of just trying to catch both of them. So it was a mad dash back. But, you know, we have hope for the future, everybody. These little boys and these little, this life that comes through them is just, gosh, it's marvelous. So thank you, everyone, for the prayers, the blessings, and they appreciate it. We appreciate it. And I'm so happy to be here. So how are you doing, Glenda?
I'm doing great. Yeah, really, I am. I'm writing the book, and it just takes me back to the wonderful days when I wrote the previous book, sharing thoughts directly back and forth with Yeshua and pulling together so many great ideas and understandings he's given me from the past and putting them into a new form. It's just, I feel wonderful doing it, and I can't wait. My goal is to have it finished in time for Christmas. So
wow.
This is going to be my Christmas offering.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's incredible.
It will be.
I think if I was writing a book, I'd say, well, you know, it'll be a couple years. Oh my gosh, that's so exciting for all of us. So, well, we do have another call. Go ahead.
No, what I was going to say is he puts me on turbo time. So,
turbo time. I like that. Turbo time is good.
Turbo time. Oh yeah. I mean, it's like the resistance in the world is just cut away. So all I've got to do is just do the job.
Oh, that's such a good way to look at things, just to make sure, you know, you get them done when the resistance falls away, right?
There's no cutting away of our duty and our work in the, in our commitment and purpose in being here. That's a given. We got to do our work and our part. But when we work with Yeshua or the Holy Spirit or our Heavenly Father, for that matter. I mean, it doesn't matter which one of the guys you're working with. They cut away the resistance that exists in the world. And you go into turbo time, which is great.
I'm right. That's turbo time. I love it. That could be a chapter with us.
Well, you know, it could be. It really, really could be. Because there's going to be a next book, maybe not the next, it's about the energy of life and all the different forms of energy we can access in life. And let me tell you, folks, we need more understanding on that subject, because we have relied too long on forms of material energy, whether it be money, food, petroleum, electricity, or just sleep to revive our bodies, whatever it that the material world can offer us, that part of the material world that we can see, feel, and touch. But there are so many forms of energy that actually do put us in what might be called turbo flow. And we just go outside the resistance. I don't think I've actually told this story to our community, so this will be a new one. A number of years ago, and it was after I had produced the painting, and I had driven to Austin to present the painting. I think I knew you by then, Nancy, but spending extra time with you was not yet where we had come to be in our relationship. So anyway, get to the point. I've got to get back home. Really, I had a deadline getting back. I was living, you know, in North Texas then, and I was in Austin, and I really needed to be back home in 2 hours, and I didn't know how I would make it. And I just started driving, stopped along the way to get gasoline, and the car was full. It was full. The tank was full. I thought there was something wrong, and I asked the manager at the station to come and help me figure out why my car wouldn't take any more gasoline. And he thought I was nuts. He said, well, your tank is full. And I said, wow. What? I've just driven from Austin, and I mentioned something that I left at a certain time. And he said, well, you sure got here in record time. You would have got, I think I was already up to, I've forgotten exactly where, but probably 2 hours north of Austin. And he said, well, how did you get here in 30 minutes? And I said, what? By that time, of course, he thought I was really on something. And I said, well, wow. Yeah, I am. I'm on the grace of God. And he said, well, keep traveling on that because you don't need gasoline. So it was really funny because I got home and I checked my tank again, and I'd only used about 10% of it. And Brian said, how did you get here with so little gas? And I said, your guess is as good as mine. But I was talking to Yeshua the whole time. The whole time I was talking to him. So
there it is, right there, right? There in another reality completely. Yeah.
Well, when I painted the painting, you know, for those of you who don't know about The Lamb and the Lion, when that painting framed out, it was 5 feet square. So we're talking about a huge painting. Very, very detailed. With old master quality of painting and development of layer upon layer upon layer of paint. The kind of thing that might have taken Raphael 3 years to paint. Okay. Well, I estimated that it was going to probably take me 6 months to a year. 2 months later, it was finished. I don't know how that happened. Because drying time is usually 3 times the amount of application time. It, with oil paints using traditional media such as linseed oil and other even heavier oils. How it happened, I don't know. I don't know. Right. It just, but I have a feeling, and I've voiced this several times to people before, and that is that I'm not sure if he came to me or if he took me to him. It could have worked both ways, because when I was with him, I never left the room until the day was over. And that's very unusual for me, to not at least need one bathroom break, one glass of water, something, mm-hmm. when I'm painting. Very, very unusual for me. And I didn't need it. I didn't even think about it. And
it really presents an interesting proposition that I also thought about in depth, really, almost like I couldn't sleep for a day. I was contemplating it so in depth. And Yeshua finally intercepted. He said, don't try to figure it out. You're not ready for it yet, Glenda. Don't try to figure it out.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, okay, well, I'll tell you what I was trying to figure out. Okay, the painting was damaged by an overhead light that crashed into the painting and tore it, I mean, sliced into it about an inch. We have photographs of that damage. And there were about 20 witnesses who were assembled early into the, we weren't in the sanctuary, we were in the educational room, which was also a very, very large room, but a little less holy than the sanctuary because there wasn't an altar. Nevertheless, people were already gathered, and when the light fell, of course, everybody ran to see if they could. I dove into it trying to catch the light, but of course, I missed it, and I fell down, so they rushed to help me up and look at the damage. So it was a totally witnessed thing. And I just put my hands over it and tried to massage the pieces together so that I could continue with the presentation that day without allowing it to be a disruptive cancellation of the day. And it was very hard to keep my emotions together. I have to tell you, it really, really was. But I got through the day, and when it was all over, people who had actually witnessed it helped me to put it in its carrying case. And we strapped it in the carrying case on the rack on top of the car. Got it home. I couldn't look at it because I would have just, I wouldn't have known what to do. I really wouldn't have. The next day I opened it up and the painting was completely whole. And I don't mean repaired or fixed or impainted. Nobody touched it. And let's just say, I actually had a plan to take it to a restorer because I didn't want the painting to be in that condition. But overnight, there's no restoration by human means that could have happened. Not possible, because I took it out of its case about 8 o'clock in the morning. And I screamed, oh my God, this painting is not damaged. Was I hallucinating? What? Was all that a nightmare I had? And I called Father Herman at the church. And I said, Father Herman, this painting is whole. Was I hallucinating? Did it actually get damaged the day before? And he says, no, it got damaged. But I prayed for it all night to be healed. And I said, well, your prayer was answered. And he said, can you bring it so that we can see it and witness the healing? And he called as many of the other witnesses that day to the church. And we photographed it, and we photographed us around looking at it. And it was the most amazing thing. But in the days after that, here's what I wondered about. I wondered if the painting on some level of this universe, which is more perfect than the earth, was never damaged.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was never damaged. And it was just, the perfect painting was just transposed back to where to replace the damaged painting. It made me wonder about miracles. It made me wonder about so many things. Like, is there, you know, is heaven on earth only an inch away? And I'm using that figuratively speaking in the sense of a dimension of perfection that is just currently out of our reach, that we don't know we can reach into. Because Yeshua said, he said, don't look upward for the kingdom of heaven. Don't look on the horizon for something coming. The kingdom of heaven is already with you.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me really wonder about that and literally consider the possibility that it's already here. But we are so focused upon the world because we created the world and it's our reality. And our ego is preventing us from finding the kingdom of heaven, which is only a breath away. You know, almost every great person that I have ever studied the life of surrendered completely before they entered their phase of greatness. That includes Yeshua, on the cross, when he said, it is over. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. He surrendered. That doesn't mean he gave up. He surrendered from the world. That's what we have to understand, I think, is we surrender from the world because we have so believed in this reality that we make no room for perfection.
And that reality is not conditioned.
It's not.
I was just, it's not conditioned by cause and effect, right? Like it is, you know?
Exactly. The world is most definitely conditioned by consequences that we need to learn from. And we were brought into this world to learn about consequences, to learn about, well, if you eat cheesecake every night, you may be wearing it a few months down the road. You know, it's a simple ratio. And we have to learn about these things. And then we think this is the reality. The reality. But every great person surrendered. Look at the life of Mother Teresa. Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King, the list goes on and on and on and on, all the way down the line. Abraham Lincoln, all the way down the line, there is a surrender before victory happens. And so where does victory come from? I think that's a very important question. Where does victory come from? Where is the field of perfection? And a way to bring in something from a semi-secular viewpoint, but also an extremely expanded viewpoint, and that is Albert Einstein. He said, he was asked about miracles, and he said, well, I'll tell you what, most definitely a miracle is an exception to accepted reality. But in the long run, I have to say, really, nothing is a miracle or everything is a miracle. It depends on where you put your focus. I think that is only a few inches away from what Yeshua was teaching us. Through faith, because through faith we have the power to surrender. See, that's it. We have the power to surrender through faith. I know I've told this story ad nauseum, and I'll make it very, very short. I was really struggling with a herniated disc with level pain of 9 and going to every doctor I could think of, fighting the condition, but I did not want to stop my life or the work I came to do, and so I said to Yeshua, we're going to do a blessing seminar. And he said, good. But he didn't do anything right there. He didn't do anything good. I just got busy. And it was still hurting. And finally, I told him, I said, I don't care if it hurts. I'm doing it. Well, that's, and I said, will you be with me? And he said, of course I will. The next day, it was all gone. It was done. My back, I had my back x-rayed, examined in every way. The doctor said, well, you don't need me anymore. Your back is perfect. So where did that come from? It was not a manipulated intervention of correction. I went to a place where that did not exist. But what preceded it was faith. What preceded it was giving up my need to handle this world before I could do the work I wanted to do. If you look at so many, many handicapped people, handicapped by standards of the world, who yet become heroes of demonstration to human capability, they did the same thing. So I didn't really know I was going to go in this direction today, but thank you, everyone, for and Tar Kim and Nancy for setting this up, because it seemed to be the message of the day.
Yeah. So good, Glenda. Oh, and ties in with what you were talking about, energy. I'm going to be really fascinated for you to share that with us in a deeper way about, you know, that whole,
yes,
much more energy from a totally different realm. And it makes you think of the cross, you know, in the book where you talked about the vertical and the horizontal things where they kind of cross section. And it's just, I think there's something to study there too, just about the cross.
Oh, there's a lot to study. There is a lot about energy that we need to take into our ability and understanding so that we can utilize more than these limited forms of energy that make up the material world. I mean, let's face it, there's only so much petroleum left. And I'm not against petroleum now, because I don't think it's the problem with the environment. And if it can ease up pressures of conflict in the world, within a few years, we will discover better forms of energy. So I'm not against petroleum. This is not saying I'm against it. But still, the reality is there's only so much left. And the same is true for coal and other sources of energy we've been using. So we've got to climb the ladder. The name of the new book is The Only Way Out Is Up. We've got to climb the ladder. And that means the ladder of self-discovery, the ladder of self-realization, the ladder of human potential, and the ladder of our connection to God. There's lots of ladders we've got to climb.
Well, I'm excited it's going to be out before Christmas. I think everybody is talking in the background saying,
I think there's no better presentation than today in this conflict in the world. We've got to go up to find our way to peace.
Amen.
We cannot burrow into the conflict. There will just be more of it. We've learned that throughout history. When's it time we accept the lesson that thousands of years of conflict should have taught us by now? You can't burrow into it and find peace. You can't. But you can climb a ladder, and you can climb above it and see what the problem really is. And also, it's so hard to find the truth in the midst of conflict. Because no matter what you think you've discovered as truth, inside the conflict, somebody else will say, no, it's not. It's this. And then you go, well, did I get it right? Huh. Maybe I didn't really know. And so then you're You're timid about holding it even for yourself, what you really know to be true. You can't find it inside of conflict. There will, for any one element of truth you discover, there will be 3,000 that will oppose it because it doesn't fit their agenda. Inside of a conflict, the only thing people believe in is their agenda. I'm sorry to tell you, but thousands of years of war and conflict should have taught us that by now. So let's start climbing the ladder. And that's why I'm working turbo time to get this book out.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. We want to just be on turbo time so we can get this, that's for sure.
Gosh, we do.
Why are we such slow learners? Good grief.
I don't know, Nancy. Lord. Well, because fear is something that we're believing still more than we believe love.
That's it, right there. Trust. I think trust. When we stop trusting.
That gets back to love. You know, I know we believe in love, but we believe in the more superficial side of love. Affection for our families, our friends, affection for our truest and deepest beliefs, praise of our heroes and our worthy leaders, and, you know, love of our religion, love of God, love, you know, we believe in love in the easy way. We don't believe in love is the miracle. We really don't, because we fold under conflict and then we get our defenses up and then our defenses are not honest. I'm sorry to tell you, but they're not. Our defenses have to serve a purpose. And that purpose is, I gotta survive. Tell me what to do. And our defenses tell us what to do, and it's not always loving.
Yeah. Well, he taught us all that. He sure did. And Love Without End, all the answers are there. They really are.
Yeah, but we've got to, you know, I think just climbing the ladder is going to help us a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to help us a whole lot. Now the core of this was, let's say, inspired by the webinar called The Only Way Up Is, The Only Way Out Is Up. But that's just the core of the book. There's so much more. There's so much more that can be said. There's so much more that can be learned. And so I am taking dictation every day. I'm serious.
Yeah.
I'm taking dictation every day.
That's so wonderful. Thank you, Glenda.
Yeah.
What a message.
My pleasure. Okay, let's get on with our community.
All right. Okay. Well, I'm sure it's going to spur some wonderful things with our community. It looks like we have Stormy. Your line is open.
Yeah, I had to use my other phone. I thought something was wrong with the other one because the conference kept saying it was blocked or something. But I kept calling and calling and calling until I got through.
Good.
Yeah, it was blocked. When I got on the call, it was blocked, but I unblocked it. But that was, well, maybe 2 minutes after three.
Yeah. Anyhow,
well, the miracle is the
yeah, I don't, when I got my job at FedEx, I actually knocked on the door personally every day for 30 days in a row until I got the job. I am persistent. And I want you, and of course they asked me to come back because they wanted me. This wasn't a time for it, but, I wanted to also say that I remember your story about the car. I've heard it before, and thank you. But I also wanted to
Stormy, you go way back.
I go back. I mean, way back. But I wanted to amplify what you said about the Twin Towers. And I've told this story before, but I hold a prayer so pure through all of eternity, those towers haven't fallen. I had a woman heard me play music at the adult center where I used to live, Thousand Trails. And we got to talking about the Twin Towers and how I hold a prayer that they haven't fallen, and played a piece of my music, the I Am song, on the piano. That's what her got her attention in the first place. And after she got to listening to the I Am song, she says, I can hear in your music the towers haven't fallen. That's exactly what you're talking about. And that's one reason why my music hasn't come out into the world so profound yet, because the world's not ready for it. I'm ready, but the world isn't ready, and I don't give any judgment about that. But I did get some information this week about there is a new paradigm, and I coined a phrase, the accelerated soul. And this energy is for the way showers, the spiritual leaders, everyday people and mainstream people like you and Nancy and other people that we all know. But there is a new paradigm available for all of the way showers in the world. Something this week has changed dramatically in that area that you were just talking about this energy. There is a new energy available, and it's very real and tangible. And I wanted to exemplify what you were saying in the stories you were talking about.
Well, great, Stormy. Thank you. Thank you. And you stimulated one last a memory in me. I mean, a recent memory, in that there was one more thing I wanted to say about the lifting of the veil. I hope I'm not interrupting you, Stormy. Is there more you wanted to say on that?
No, this is why I said what I said, so you can finish saying what you're going to say.
Okay. That's a deal. Okay, we're good partners, Stormy. Now, there's something in the book of Revelation that has mystified people through the ages when they read it. And it has to do with lifting of the veil. The veil being the holographic reality of what we are calling the world. In the book of Revelation, it is said that the dead shall rise even before the saints are called. The dead shall rise. Well, I and so many people have thought, well, how can the dead rise when they don't have a body left, and many have been cremated, and who knows how many thousands or hundreds of thousands of years we're talking about for the dead rising that has been lost underneath oceans, underneath volcanic eruptions. How are the dead going to rise? Well, if what I'm saying is actually the truth, in that the illusion we live in, the dysfunctional illusion we live in the world, is lifted, we will find that the dead never died. They never died. That was part of the false illusion. And they are alive, perfectly, still living in the garden, which
The Garden of Eden has been searched the planet over with so many theories of where it could have been, where it could have been, where it could have been. Well, my friends, I think it's on the other side of the veil. It was just simply covered over by the illusion of the world that we had to live in after we had disconnected, we had separated from our Creator. Once we separated from the Creator, we had to live in a world we created because we had disobeyed or failed to comply with His love in the perfect world that was created for us. But the garden never went away. It's there. In dreams at times, I will see Gunner, my cat, Gunner, who went through the whole journey with me. I see him playing around in a garden with irises in it. And I'm thinking, where in the world is that garden? Where is Gunner? Well, Gunner's not on this side of the veil. He's on the other side of the veil. That garden is there perfectly. And so many people have asked me, well, do my pets go to heaven? What about beautiful trees and forests that have burned down? And with this particular vision I'm sharing to you is that the forest never burned down on the other side of the veil. Of course our beloved animals are over there because they never died. They just could not continue their fragile existence on this side of the veil. This side of the veil became too hard for them to perpetuate their lives. And they surrendered and went to the other side of the veil, where all manner of life is lived. Everything from plants to fishes to algae to all the animals. Everyone who's ever lived is on the other side of the veil. They never died. Well, that's my theory. That's what I am coming to conclusion from the visions I've been shown. And the,
That is not a theory. You live on that other side of the veil as well as you live on this side.
Well, I do. And that's what Yeshua was talking about when he said, I live in the world, but not of the world. He was living on both sides. And I hope this will be of comfort to many of you who have had to say goodbye to your loved ones on this side of the veil. I have no biological family left, and it's been hard to survive them. And yet there are times when I feel I'm just walking around in the house and I hear my mother talking to me and say, don't do that. That's a waste of time. And I'm going, where are you? Am I hallucinating? And no, I'm not hallucinating. She's actually here on the other side of the veil. And
I will also add that on this other side of the veil that I have dreamt and been in, there are flowers as large as trees with petals as large as doors. That is part of what is on the other side of that veil, the Garden of Eden. That is how the earth looks there more than what it looks like to us now. You will be completely amazed to see this is a completely different place than you know and understand in this time and space. But we give honor to this time and place that we are in right now. It serves a purpose.
We do.
It serves a purpose. That is important. Mm-hmm. Where we are, this side of the veil that we're on, it does serve a purpose.
It does. It's our schoolhouse.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Stormy.
Well, it gives us, this side of the veil gives us an opportunity to make choices. On the other side of the veil, who would want anything other than perfection? I mean, let's face it. You mean there's something else I could choose other than perfection? No, there really isn't. Over here, we have about 3,000 choices in a daytime. You know, is this the best time to drive to the store? No. Is this the best time to call my friend who's been worried about this and that, or should I let her walk through a few things before I call her? You know, we have, in a day, we've got so many choices. Should I feed the cats now? Things as simple as that. And we need these choices because these choices refine our integrity. They refine our engagement with life and teach us responsibility. You know, they really do. We need them.
There are things that I can do in this physical body that I cannot do in my angelic light, my body. The things that I can do in this heavy light versus the light and vibrations of an angel. There are things I can do. And as I look down from my angelic self into my physical presence, I'm talking to all my other angel friends. You see what I'm doing there? Behold what I am doing in that physical presence. The other angels are in awe that I have taken a physical body, yet still retain my physical, my angelic presence. And they look down and say, look what he is doing in that physical body. It is extreme. It is the biggest blessing you can possibly imagine. Even in the trials and woes and all the things that are going on, nevertheless, this is such a blessing to have this physical form. It is beyond comprehension, the blessings that we have the opportunity to have this physical form, to have an actual birth and death, and have that entire scenario in addition to what you are saying about this Eden, that Eden. The beauty of it is incredible. Thank you. Thank you, Glenda, for letting me speak a little bit.
Thank you for that reminder.
Thank you, Tony. There's just one more thing I want to say, and I think it's a very, very important conclusion to the dialogue that Stormy and I have been having here. And that is that on this side of the veil, we think we need God. And we do. There's no question about it. We need his grace, his help, his blessing. And he says, call me. Ask me. But there's another side to that equation. And that is on this side of the veil, God needs us. We have an opportunity here to actually work for God, to make him happy, to complete his creation, to take this raw clay and shape it into a vessel of love and experience and development of a dimension that was otherwise incomplete. So we are actually the explorers and the shapers and the makers of a whole new dimension of existence. And God has given us that job, and he needs us to do our work. So just think about the fact that you are needed. I think that's a very, very important addition to your personal integrity. Everybody, I'm not talking to Stormy here. Stormy knows this. I'm talking to everybody else. because we come and we think, we come to this blessing hall and we think, oh my gosh, how am I gonna get by with, how am I gonna help the people I love? Think about you're helping God help the people you love by being here, by offering your prayers, your blessings. This is why we are supposed to take an active role in asking. We're not supposed to be here passive and just assuming, well, God knows what I need. If he really wanted me to have it, he'd give it. It's been proven through the ages that doesn't work, which means that's not the way God wants us to be. He wants us to be active. He wants us to do the best we can do, and then what we can't do, we ask him for help, or we ask the Holy Spirit, we ask Yeshua, we ask the saints, we ask the angels. We ask for help from a higher ground. When we have done what we can do, we are not here to be passive, my friends. We are not here just waiting to win the lottery. No. And actually, most people who win the lottery mess their life up because it was the wrong message. It was the wrong delivery of blessing, not the blessing they need. They need partnership in doing the purpose of their life. That's what they need. They need a partnership in the sense of others joining in the purpose and helping them, whether it's physical partnering, assistance in development, whether it's financial contribution, or whatever else we can do to partner with one another. And I think that this is why when Yeshua said love one another, he said, love your neighbor as yourself. A neighbor is someone who's not your family. A neighbor is someone you live close by and you have things in common with, which means you're probably doing things similar in purpose and direction to your neighbor. Partner with them. And they're partnering with you. You'll get the job done. Do the best you can with one another, and then what you can't do, pray and ask. This is why God does not jump in until you ask. He doesn't jump in. He wants to know that you've done your part. Pray. Don't just think it's hard and then wimp out and say, oh Lord, I'm so scared. And he'll be thinking, hey, pull your big pants up and get to work. Okay? I'm here. I'll be watching out for you. Call me when you need me. And that's pretty much how I have discovered that it works, my friends. We are here to be workmen and workwomen of God. Servants. Children. Inheriting. But we're inheriting from a parent that wants his children to earn their inheritance. We're not here like the billionaire parents that are spoiling their children today and giving them a trust fund to live on without doing a doggone thing the rest of their life other than just meddling with the government. Okay? Our parent is smart. Our parent is wise. Our parent knows how to build responsible, honorable, strong, and dignified children. And that's what he wants from you. And he needs you. He needs you. Okay, well, I spent an awful lot of time talking today. I'm ready to hear from somebody else.
Okay. Well, it was all wonderful and so important. Let's see. We have Christopher. Your line is open.
Oh, hello, everybody. Hi. I did. I hope you can hear me. I have these new earbuds. Can you hear me okay?
We can.
Perfectly.
Oh, okay, great. Well, I totally forgot what I was calling in about because I'm so inspired. I'm just kind of joking.
Yeah, really.
I really want to thank everybody for your sharing today. I'm really inspired by what you're saying, Glenda. I can't even get into that, but thank you, Stormy, as well. Wow. Just so opening, mind opening, mind expanding and encouraging. My main blessing request is just that I'm going on a trip starting tomorrow. I'll be gone for 2 weeks or something, maybe a little longer. And I'm traveling down to Southern California and down into the Southwest, Tucson. Just want a blessing for my travels. I know it's going to be amazing. And I think that's about all I ask for, because I'm sure there are other people who are on the line. But I did want to celebrate with so much gratitude the joy of this new book coming out and all that you're sharing with us about Turbo Time and, really co-participating with the other side of the veil. I think that's maybe another blessing is just, I feel like that's kind of how I've always lived, and I'm stepping into another level of appreciation of that, rather than thinking, oh, I'm such a weirdo, or kind of diminishing myself in a subliminal way without realizing it. I've been encouraging some of my friends and clients, please don't underestimate your contribution. Don't undervalue what you've accomplished. And then I realized after I told several people that this last week, okay, I really have to put that back here as well. To remember that. Oh, because I kind of always had that sense. And then as I grew and matured in age and practiced with people, it started to be like, wow, this is pretty obvious. When I'm in session with someone, there's their ancestor, but in the form that they're in now, not the form that this person remembers them. And there's so much healing that happens in that space, whether it's with their lost pet, their angels, their loved ones, Yeshua, the spiritual guides and masters that help them on their path. It's so revitalizing when we can have that contact. I just want to acknowledge that integration, walking with that integration. And I like what Stormy said about how it feels like there's a new energy available to those who are way showers, I think he said. And I really feel that. So I want to acknowledge you, Stormy, for bringing that up. I felt there was a real truth and transmission in what he said. And I feel it for myself. So that maybe that's the second blessing, is just more acknowledgement of those gifts that God has given me and the way that I'm expressing them in the world, rather than sort of, and maybe this applies to many other people in our community, rather than sort of putting them on the back burner or subconsciously diminishing ourselves, really turning up the appreciation and acknowledgement for the fact that we're walking in that way in the world and the impact that it has on people. So
absolutely.
Thank you.
There is no blessing too small.
That's a great blessing for all of us. Absolutely.
Yeah, maybe we through that, I have a, early on in my spiritual walk, I had a spiritual master who I lived with and studied with, and she told us, so simple statement, it keeps coming to me this week, acknowledge yourself for the good things you do, especially something out of the blue. Self-acknowledgement builds self-trust. And I feel like that practice changed my life from when I was a very young person of, again, not really understanding that I had gifts. Not understanding it was a gift, but actually feeling like it made me alienated. And so learning how to, I want to practice that again on another level as an adult, going, okay, acknowledge these things that you might take for granted about the way you're walking with Christ, the way you're walking with God, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yes.
Amen.
I just wonder what our life would be like and what our community would create the more that we celebrate that in ourselves and each other. Heaven on earth.
I think we do that a lot in our community meetings.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. And then in the in-between time when I'm struggling, I'm like, okay, I need more Christ blessing. How do I get more of that during the week, you know? I want more community with my tribe here. Trying to find ways throughout the week, you know?
Well, call him by name.
Yes.
Call him by name. Just say, Yeshua, I need you.
And there's so many blessings, boy. Seen and unseen, I'll tell you.
Oh, thank you, everybody. Oh, have an amazing week. I love you all so much, and I'm so grateful for our community.
Me too. Crystal, you have a great trip. You're going to have a wonderful 2 weeks.
And when you get back, let us know how it went. Okay, I know it'll be a blessing.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
Okay. Love you so much. We have Susan. We're glad you're here.
Hello, Nancy. Hello, Glenda. Hello, everybody in the community. So there were 2 things I wanted to mention, but first and foremost is I went to the derm, and sure enough, everything looked good. And I said to him, oh, what is this? And it was near my knee. And he said, oh, we'll have to take that off and biopsy, you know, biopsy. And I said, I've had so many of these, you know, cancers that they had to, you know, remove. And I just said, I am going to just, instead of just praying to accept whatever it is, I'm going to ask that it be benign. And expect that what I'm asking, I'll receive. So that's you know, what I would put out. And today I was looking for you because I got the block thing too, and I rarely look at my emails, and it was this update from the dermatology group, and I went, oh boy, Sunday. So, you know, it said hit on that link and put in your, you know, your username, and I don't even have a password for that, but they said, if you forgot that, put in your birth date, and it didn't go through to anything, and I said, well, I could get afraid or not, because I'm, you know, I actually I'm doing a lot better with fear-based things than ever in my life, but I just said, you know, I can't imagine this was done this past Wednesday. And I said, and today's Sunday. I said, if it was anything serious, I can't imagine they're just going to throw that on an email. So, I can't imagine they would do that. The results would be in that quick anyway. So I said, no, I'm going to, I'm praying that it's benign. And my intention before I even saw that was, ask you and the community to put that out that I can get a monopoly pass this time and that it be benign instead of being cut up and stitched up and, you know, as I said, it's right near my knee. So that's what, you know, that's what I wanted to put out there and ask for.
Well, you've got it from us.
What's that?
I said you've got it from us.
Oh, good, good. The other thing is you mentioned, you know, in speaking about Einstein and what he said about, you know, miracles and perception, you know, either is none or there, or everything is a miracle. And I read a book by Marie Benedict, and she's written about a lot of important women, you know, doing research on a lot of important women. And one of the books I read was called The Other Einstein, and it was about his wife, and it was very interesting, but I always had this, I mean, I'm not one to totally love science, but if I'm going to love science, it would be related to science as it relates to spiritual connection. Uh-huh. I always loved Einstein for that. But this book was very eye-opening, and it had a lot to do with his wife. And it didn't necessarily portray him in the best light. And I'm like, oh, you know, sort of shattered some of my feelings about him. And that bothered me. And so it sounds crazy, but I just want to, I don't know what I need to release, but, you know, and I have this strong feeling a lot of what was written is written in truth. And I'm just having some difficulty accepting some of what, you know, what I saw about him in this book. So I just want to put that out there as it relates to his win as his wife. So I just want to put that out there.
Well, I can't comment since I don't know what she said. So, but if anyone else wants to read about it, then they know where to get it.
Yeah, it was interesting. And it, you know, it showed a lot of his humanity, but some of it went beyond just human, you know, being human. And anyway, whether, you know, anyways, I just want to put that into the universe and leave it there. But if you can put some prayers around this and hope to God that I get a Monopoly pass so this turns out to be or not, I'll be really grateful.
Yeah. Okay. We sure will pray for that. We sure will.
Thank you. Thank
you.
I appreciate
that. We'll see you totally whole, Susan. Everything's going to work out.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
We love you.
We love you too.
Okay. Well, here we have Eva. No, we have, sorry, can I Eva? It's a minute.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Can you hear us?
Oh, yes. If we understand that Christ is in everything, then we have the kingdom, we have God on earth. This was an experience I had about 25 years ago in India at the Delhi airport in 98. That was a quite substantial experience. It relates to to your quotes about the kingdom of heaven and where it is and the veil and all this. So, it's really something in the present that we do not see the things that are here. But as soon as we see, as we realize that are already here, then we open the gates for heaven. So when we are realize that Christ is in everything, then we have God on earth.
Yes. Yes. I'm sorry. There's a lot of static on the line.
Yeah, the line is quite bad,
Hello? I'm here.
Maybe it's like, maybe it's better like this.
Yeah, we just have like a strange echo, but that is better, I think.
That is better.
Yeah, I use that over IP too. Maybe it's better. I can tell the whole story actually from India, but it takes a little time. It's a rather long story. I was in.
Are you in India now? Are you in India now?
Sorry? No, I'm not in India. I'm in Switzerland now. Yeah.
Okay.
But now I could hear everything perfectly, but now there is a problem in the line.
Mm-hmm. Well, we could not hear you for a while.
Should I redial in or something?
You
might
think
want
you're
to
okay.
try that.
Well,
try to
you're
redial
okay
in,
for
yeah.
us. Yeah, we can hear you. But if you can't...
You can hear me. Okay, then I try to bring the story. Yeah, I lived in India in the 90s and I studied and practiced Tibetan Buddhism. I was in the Tibetan community there. And before I left, I wrote a big letter to the Tibetan community because I witnessed these different things about inside Tibetan society that was problematic. And I thought, well, I have the conditions that I can point it out. Many others can't. So I had a critique and was a paper A4, both sides, and I distributed it by post. to different places, and then I left to Delhi, and I was supposed to fly 2 days later to Switzerland. And I gave my email so that people could discuss the topic and reach me. And then I reached, had one email by a very angry Tibetan that complained about my opposition and said everyone has to be together and there is no possibility. There's no space for traitors. And it was really aggressive. So I was afraid they would come to Delhi and catch me. And I was really afraid. And at the same time, I was also smoking dope. I've seen it as religious. And it was, of course, a big danger in India. I mean, they don't distinguish between drugs. You quickly have a few years in jail or so. And then when this happened with the message, I got really afraid. But in this moment of fear, I didn't turn to practice. I didn't turn to meditation or so. I just ran to the Swiss embassy and asked for help. And the Swiss embassy told me I could go to a special hotel that is not so much known. I mean, not a traveler hotel. And then I stayed 2 nights in this hotel, and then I had to go airport, and I bought the ticket, the plane ticket in Dharamsala. So it was possible that some of the Tibetans, especially some of the Tibetans who had connection to the Indian police and so on, were friends with Indian police. They might know when I fly, and they might have colleagues in Delhi, a police colleague in Delhi, and something like that. So there was for me, it was a risk that maybe they catch me at the airport and then they do whatever they want. I mean, it's corrupt police, so they could quite easily put me in jail for something. And so I decided completely against convictions, against simplicity or belief or meditation or going to a monastery, I mean, going to temples or so. I was just shaving my long hairs, and I bought a suit like that. I would have a kind of uniform, a kind of clothing that would make me not a hippie tourist, but another hippie traveler, but someone who has a respected businessman or something. So I tried to style myself, and I went to the airport. It was about 4 o'clock in the morning. The flight was 6 o'clock in the morning. So I stay at the airport, and nothing happens. Absolutely nothing happens. And I sit there, and in this moment, I realized that everything I wanted to believe, all my created beliefs, didn't work in the time of crisis. It was just nothing. It was just, I went to the Swiss embassy. I changed my clothing. I didn't live simple anymore. I did almost the opposite of everything I practiced. And in this moment, I heard the voice of Christ. And Christ told me, relax. First, relax. And I started to relax and open my necktie. And then he said to me, your suit, I bought a very expensive, for my style, very expensive suit a few days ago. And a few $100s. And he said, your suit, that's not your style. You don't need it anymore. And I go, what? I don't need it anymore. It was $200. I could use. I mean, it was really expensive. I could use it in Switzerland for something. So I had this reflection about good and bad. And then someone from the airport came to me, and he said, "Your flight. You have to come. Your flight is going." And in this moment, I decided to leave the suit. And I stood up. I left. And he said, "Your suit. You have to take your suit." And I said, "No, I don't need it anymore." And in this moment, I felt a tremendous joy. A tremendous joy, and the person, the security that checked me when I entered the gates for the airport, I looked at him and I realized, when we understand that Christ is in everything, then we have God on earth. And there was just a
surprise. Oh, amen.
Yeah.
That is an amazing story.
25 years ago in Delhi airport. Yeah.
Oh, God bless you. And you are, you're going to be taken care of totally. You are in the grace of God now.
Thank you. Yeah.
Many blessings.
Well, we will hold you in our blessings and our prayers. And thank you for your courage and your faith and for sharing your amazing story of grace with us.
You're welcome. Thank you. Yeah.
Well, Glenda, we are at the end here of our callers, and I think it's been quite a wonderful time together today. And I bet we're ready for this blessing.
What happened to Eva?
Well, Eva, if you want to pop back in, I did see that you were there. Let me check to see if she's still with us.
Let's disconnect the previous call because we're getting an echo from it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here is Eva is back in the queue. Hi, Eva.
Hi. I'm having trouble here getting off the phone, but here I am anyway. One very good blessing I want to say thank you for was this week. Mara finally found my number, and we got together. So that was
good.
Yeah. And the other is, of course, blessings for me again. My pain is much better. I'm having therapy, which is still a little difficult, but she really worked me on this week on Thursday, having me walk, which is still a bit of a challenge. But I'm doing it some, and hopefully
you
it will
did
continue.
It.
I did it, so I'm hoping it will continue to improve. So I thank you for all the blessings that you have given to me, and I will be very happy for some more.
Okay. You are always on our blessing list.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that because I really want to be able to function much better again, so I'm hoping for that. So thank you.
I know.
Yeah.
All right, my dear.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm glad you hung on the line. Well, Nancy, are we? Nancy?
Coming on.
Thank you, Eva.
Okay.
We look forward to hearing how you're doing better each week. Yes. Okay. You're welcome. Glenda, we are, the lines are clear and,
I will switch us over. All right, everyone. Oh, wow. What a wonderful time we had together today. And a story from India all the way to Switzerland. And so many people are reporting their blessings and sharing their blessings and messages of hope and deliverance and transformation. Wow. I thought this was just terrific. I loved every minute of it. And we are all set for now the conveyance of the blessing from the Holy Spirit, from Yeshua, and God our Creator. They are here with us already, but they await our asking, and so we ask. And we prepare ourselves for the receiving. You know, one of the things I tell our blessing givers when they come for training is that this seminar is really more about you than it is about the heavenly host, because they know how to bless. We have to learn how to receive, and most of all, especially for our blessing
we have to learn how to get out of the way, because we can bring our hopes and our ego-generated ideas of what would be an ideal result as a blessing. And only the host of heaven knows how it really, really works with the perfection waiting for you, which is greater than any of us can imagine. The other thing to keep in mind, and this is something always, always to keep in mind, is that even the smallest blessing is worthy of magnificent gratitude. Because even the smallest blessing can change the direction of your life. And in that change of direction of your life will come the further blessings. Blessings come in layers. Just like learning comes in layers. If you think about what you know now, not all together school lessons, but lessons in living, lessons in awareness, lessons in compassion and sharing and social lessons. If you think about all that you've acquired in your life, how could you ever have acquired that in one day or one revelation of reality? We build our awareness, our learning, our understanding in layers. And so do the blessings come in layers. Now, certainly, many of the miracles that Yeshua demonstrated to the world happened instantly, without any lag of time. It was just an instant revelation of perfection. But that was more than likely an instance of what we were talking about today, where an ounce of perfection was pulled through the veil and distributed to a person who needed it to heal a body or to change a circumstance in life. Most of our blessings need to be assimilated. And there's a lot of reasons for that, because otherwise we would conceivably repeat the same mistakes that got us in trouble in the first place. There's one particular blessing I'm thinking about in the New Testament where Yeshua healed a man, and now he said, go forth now. I want you to go and forgive your brother. I want you to do this and this. In other words, he was giving him instructions about how not to get back in the condition he was liberated from. So just because we're liberated from a condition doesn't mean we won't walk back into it. But if we accumulate the blessings layer by layer so that we appreciate each layer and then add to it, and we add to it, and it's like adding ingredients into a beautiful recipe that when it's put in the oven, all the ingredients are blended, and it comes out of the oven as a delightful dish to put on the dinner table. So as we are given these blessings in sequence, in doses, in layers, they actually come into our life in a more perfect way to be assimilated and taken into our life, digested, as a matter of speaking, only not with our tummy, digested with our spirit, received into the countenance of our life so that we can feel that they are there and they are a lasting part of our being. So we prepare ourselves to receive. And the first thing we do after sitting here listening to conversations and delivery of information or inspiration for some number of minutes, we need to limber our bodies up. I know some of you can't walk right now. Some of you can't even stand. That's okay. But you can still extend, at the very least, fingers, or an arm or a leg. Move yourself. Flex your foot. Flex your hand. Flex your knee or your elbow. Whatever you can flex. Your shoulder, your neck, your chin, your head, to the right, to the left. Add some flexibility into your body, because there's an energy that's going to pour through you. And it's not the kind of energy you feel when you run a mile. It's a very subtle energy that doesn't require you move anything. But it does require that you not give it roadblocks, that you're flexible, you're open to flow and to movement. So we do this for a minute. Just flex whatever you can, your back, your shoulders, your hips, your legs. And now we're going to take a very, very deep breath. Expand your lungs, your diaphragm, and hold it for a few seconds. And then expand it so that you push it out with your diaphragm. You draw your lungs in to push out the very last portion of air. And you give it into the atmosphere around you. This is giving. And now we take. Let's have a taking breath. We're going to inhale. Take a new fresh breath into your lungs. Drop your shoulders. Expand your sides. Deepen your diaphragm and hold as much air as you can in your body. And say thank you. After holding it for a few seconds, now we're going to push it air, push it out again. And say to the environment, take from me that I give freely to you. And let it go. Drop your shoulders. Relax your back. And let it be. And I want to remind you of the four square breath, which is normal breathing, but mindfully. You're going to exhale to give a breath into the atmosphere around you. And you're going to count to four. It's just your count of four, not mine. The reason we count is so that we can make sure every part of our breath is to an equal measure. So whatever you choose for four, take four and exhale. Now pause to the count of four. And inhale to the count of four. And pause to the count of four. So that your breaths are not frantic. They're not compulsive. They're mindful. And when you exhale, now let's do it again. Think of your giving of life. And you're allowing that gift to be received as you pause to the count of four. Now you're free to take in a whole new breath that is different from the one you gave to the count of four. And now receive that gift to the count of four. Anytime you practice this, you will bring peace and countenance to your life. Gratitude and integrity to your life. It can calm a moment of anxiety. It can give pleasure to moments of joy. It can enhance the quality of any experience you're going through. I do this especially in traffic because it doesn't take your attention away from the road or the steering wheel at all. It just gives you a mindful control of your life as you're going through that experience. I will pray to Yeshua. Invite him to offer the blessings we need. And you continue your four square breath. O Lord of life, and brother to us all, who came to teach us the magnificence of life in all of its ways, how to drink the water of life that leaves us filled and not thirsty, how to break the spell of anxiety that we have, and the spell of believing in images that are no more than hallucinations, to discover the soul that we are, the righteousness of light in our life and in the world. We ask for all the blessings from you that we express today as our need. And we ask to fulfill to you and our Creator your needs of us, that the reciprocity may be complete and perfect. On behalf of those who are suffering in this world, we ask that you give them your special attention and hear their prayers. Relieve their suffering and give them hope. We ask most especially for the children who are suffering in so many parts of the world, that they be lifted from this service, suffering, and be brought into the arms of those others, adults, who can truly love them, feed them, and break their fear, break the horror of what they have suffered. We ask that you feed the hungry with food, with hope, and with faith. We ask that you give us ways of using all the resources of life to our betterment and to the betterment of our brothers and sisters, our families, our spouses, our children, our neighbors. For we are all walking through this trouble and this torment together. Let us be here for one another, and to know that you are by our side through it all. We ask this in your holy name, with the Spirit of God, the grace and the beauty of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Forever. Amen. Blessing givers, will you join me now as we conduct the offering of the blessing? Amen. Amen. And amen. Your blessing has been given. Now it's time for you to rest. By rest, I mean lie down on a bed. Or the floor could be, a mat on the floor could be fine. Or the grass outside. As long as you really lie down as if you were going to sleep. No thoughts, no words should travel through your mind. Be an empty vessel and a whiteboard on which God can write your blessings. Be at peace and lie there at least 7 minutes. But if you fall asleep or want to be there longer, that's more power to you. I wish you a blessed week, and I look forward to having you with me again next Sunday. Bye-bye for now.